Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
You are? I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, Tom.
Good, Dave. You?
Yeah, I'm right. Thanks for asking. Do you want to tell everyone where we are, Tommy?
Yes, we are in Robert Walters. One of their meeting rooms, Meeting 20.
Big recruitment agency in London. We'll tell you why.
Yeah. So we're coming to you live. Well, not live, but we're actually recorded.
The opposite of live.
From there. And we've got a little special guest with us today. Dave, do you want to do the intros?
You say little, but she's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
7.5 months pregnant?
Yeah.
We've got Michelle, a.k.a. Mish.
A.k.a.
the Rottweiler.
Carl Pilkington.
A.k.a. Carl Pilkington. She's here, and I expected to see her. We met in a cafe for a coffee just now next door, and I expected to see a whale walk in, because all she's talked about is how much weight she's put on, because she's Keith Cheggers.
And that's pregnant.
That's pregnant, with twins, close to popping. Presumably it's kind of, I know it's not due date yet, but it could happen...
6 weeks?
6 weeks, but it could happen safely now, couldn't it?
No, it could. Well, oh. It wouldn't be safely, I'd rather it... No, I'm only 30 weeks.
Are you saying Shanks and I couldn't deal with it?
Get some hot towels and marigolds.
Yeah, count to 10. Breathe out. Can't be that hard, can it? Can't be that hard. Bear in mind, people gave birth. We're in a beautiful office with staff and internet and taxis everywhere and mineral water on tap, and people used to give birth in streets.
Do you mean delivering a baby or giving birth? Both.
Delivering, either. Our job, delivering.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's the thing, right? Someone tweeted...
Because, you know, I used to live with you, and I've seen you and smelt you give birth to a few things. It's your lack of veg, mate. You need more veg in your diet.
I eat a lot of veg, boy.
Yeah.
As a percentage of my diet, it's not enough, but I do eat a lot.
Okay.
I read something this morning on Twitter, which means it's true, that because it said fact on it. The most painful thing that can happen to anybody... is childbirth is the second most painful thing behind something awful, I don't know, being crushed.
Catching something in your zip of your trousers?
Yeah, but it was basically like, it's the second most painful thing that can happen to a human being, right? Okay. Now, don't get the cooties, Mish, but I dispute that, because I think at the time it can be quite bad, but you get your epidural, if you've got anything about you, and fly into that. But then I remember when, like, my wife gave birth to our first kid, and it was a 50-hour labour. It was absolutely horrendous. Get them home on a Friday afternoon after they got the baby. And so that afternoon, she had the baby on a Thursday evening. She's back home Friday afternoon.
Doing the dishes.
Yeah, bloody right.
Over in the house.
And dinner went on table by 5. And she went for a walk. She said, I'm just going to go for a walk. She's been in this room for 50 hours. I'm going to go for a little walk. Admittedly, it was a slow walk.
Yeah.
But she walked to the shops, got some stuff, and came back really slowly in her own time. Good for her. I remember having shoulder reconstruction number 5. I was not walking to the shops the day after a shoulder reconstruction. I was in absolute agony.
You've got 5 shoulders?
Weeks. Yes.
Yeah.
I was in agony for weeks. Okay. I would go as far as say, on the day it might be more sore, but the truth is, in terms of cumulative pain and discomfort, having a shoulder recon is worse than having a baby.
Well, I think it's just because women don't...
Oh my God, they don't kick up a fuss. Are you kidding me? We'll see. I
had my eyes lasered back in 2009 and walked out, no problem.
It's Did fine. You?
Yeah.
Is that why you...
That's why one's a little bit lazy.
You blink if you want, mate. It's getting a bit weird now.
But Michelle's basically here to make sure that we don't swear, say words like bloody, rack off.
Ruddy.
Yeah.
Rack off. That's Neighbours, wasn't it?
A bit late now. Or Home and Away.
They used to say things were crash hot as well, didn't they?
They'd often use the B word as well, wouldn't they? Bitch.
Mate.
It's a dog, isn't it? It's a female dog.
Yeah, female dog. I still giggle when... do you know Kane Palmer Newport, the prop with the big beard who plays at Bath?
Well, yeah.
From the old... I'm friends with his dad, because his dad used to do, like...
Oh, God, you sound old now. You sound like my dad now.
Well, I'm friends with Kane, but I know his dad, is what I'm saying. So,
best mates with his dad.
No, his dad has got a
I'm gonna stop hanging around with you, mate.
His dad has got a business clearing drains, so when your drains are blocked, you're in Kano's dad.
My dad wears that blazer as well.
And Big Roy, shut up.
Right.
So Big Roy would come round and he would always talk about his bitches. Because he loves dogs and he's got two like pointers of bitches. And then once he came round, honestly, it's true, he came to our house. The house I'm in now, drains got blocked, design fault. And he came round and he goes, I said, yeah, come on in, mate, come on. He goes, yeah, I got a bird in the van. And I was like, I got a bird in the van. I was like, I could have sworn he was still living with Kane's mum after all these years. I said, oh, invite her in. You know, I know Kane's mum. I was like, invite her in. I'll bring her in, bring her in. He's like, no, I might stick her in the garden. I was like, I don't get it. I got a bird in a van, stick her in the garden. I was like, I don't get it. And he walked back to his van and pulls out this massive hawk from the back of his, like, it's like aqua drains on the side of his transit van. Pulls out this massive hawk and it's huge and it's got its own perch and he's forgotten his leather glove. So he carries into the back garden and I've got two dogs. I've got a French bulldog and an English bull terrier cross. And he's like, you want to put the dogs away? And I was like, yeah, the dogs will eat your bird. He goes, they won't. Bird will kill it. I was like, what dogs? I said, you haven't seen what dogs I got. He goes, don't matter what dogs you got, the bird will kill it. And this bird came out and his arm, he had to bandage his arm to fix our drain. His arm was like sliced, like it had knives on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely sliced up. I mean, Roy's a tough old boy, mind. Didn't, but he was like, yeah, I got a bird in a van. I didn't realise he brought out this massive hawk. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rugby union.
What have you been up to?
Can you tell us what you've been up to first? Because I get a lot of abuse for being the only one that for dominating, hogging conversation on here. So I want to be quiet for 20 seconds.
No, it's your stories, mate. That's all.
Too long.
The backstory to a backstory, but they're good. I enjoyed that hawk one, mate. You see all of them in Dubai. They've all got hawks.
Yeah,
you can take them on planes and everything.
And Bath.
Yeah. I don't know what I've been up to this week.
You don't know.
We hosted the Welsh lacrosse dinner at Allianz Park for Lucy Ray, who was the former captain of the Welsh lacrosse team.
Yeah, she's also the daughter of Nigel Ray, the Saris owner.
Yeah.
And long-term friend of ours. We were friends with her when we were 18, weren't we?
Yes.
All the way through.
Yeah. So we hosted that and raised a lot of money for it. Well, you did. You did the auction, which was good.
Let's be frank. You did well. Let's be frank, mate. That auction would have been quite hard work if Nigel and Lucy Ray weren't in the room.
Yeah.
There were a couple of other guys bidding pretty hard, mind.
They were trying to outbid each other, and we were sat on a table with Lucy Ray's company,
MBN Events. Yeah.
MBN Events. And we all decided to lick the top of a glass of water, and I could see you were up on stage, sweating, and you're doing a good job of the auction. And when you finished, come up, give me the glass, necked it in one, didn't you?
Necked it in one. Who'd licked it? Everyone.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just that fit one that was sitting next to me that you'd made lick it, but it was everyone. Ah, brilliant. All the lads licked it too.
Yeah. So aesthetic.
Yeah, but I stood up to... Oh, we stood up to the dinner. We co-hosted this dinner for the lacrosse ladies, and every page of my script had a cock and balls drawn on it. It's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Grow up, Tom.
So what day was that? That was...
Friday night. I got home just after 2. When did you get home?
Just after 3.
People think it's easy, mate.
It's not.
Not, is it?
Showbiz isn't easy, mate.
Isn't easy. Up again at ridiculous o'clock, went to a house viewing on Saturday, which is... I'd rather view houses on my own than with my family, to be honest. Let them go. Do you like it, yes or no?
Yeah.
And I'd rather go on my own, because it turned into an hour and a half to view a house.
How big's the lounge? Where can I put my TV?
It's a quarter mile across, that's why it took so long.
Mm.
But it's not that big, but it was literally like an hour and a half, and I was thinking this will take 15 minutes. Because you know after 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
You can smell, can't you?
And I had to go and pick up a pig for my mate Bod.
Brian O'Driscoll?
Different Bod.
Oh, right.
Better Bod.
Yeah.
I might have to go and pick up a pig, because my pig Juan got butchered last week, so I picked up 65, 70 kilos of meat.
Wow.
In one sitting? Yeah, so when you come into the house next, you've got I'll give you a gift, give you a couple of pork joints, some sausages.
A couple of trotters,
yeah, I got the trotters. Yeah. I slow cook them for the dogs.
Yeah, I like to eat pig's tails like spaghetti.
I use them as floss, it's up to you. But quite big gaps between my teeth.
Yeah, so nothing, mate, really. Quite weak. Was consumed by Homeland yesterday. Did you watch that?
Absolutely not.
You don't watch it?
The most boring show on television.
Do you know what it's about? That.
You're out as well.
No,
it's got better.
We've recorded them, but it's like off.
No, it's got a lot better now. It's got a lot better now. And I also watched the Antiques Roadshow. I could not turn it over.
Yeah, so, but you know why?
Because there was a lady, she had some sort of sea log on there, and they were going through it, and the presenter kept saying semen on it.
Sea log as in a big poo that someone's done underwater.
He kept asking her if she knew any of these semen. I was just giggling away.
Were you on the lads trip, on the boat with us, in Greece? can't remember where the Greece. Lads where the lads were doing sea cucumbers.
No, I was on a I was on the boat with you in Ibiza for your stag.
Yeah, and that different one.
No, so is that one that you were breakdancing?
I'm always breakdancing. I was breakdancing just before you got here, actually, in the boardroom. The yeah, it might have been the yeah, the lads were doing, because it was on a boat. You're on a boat for a week on holiday, and you get off to go on the lash and eat lunch and stuff. But you're on a boat, and they've got tiny little toilets, and you don't want 12 rugby players using the same toilet for a week because it'll be grim. So
yeah,
all the lads had a rule that if you needed a number twosies, you jumped over the side into the sea.
Yeah,
the captain was like to jump in the sea.
Bit like mutiny.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Do a sea cucumber. Problem is when they start swimming after you, because there's no gravity, they don't break. So they're like big baguettes, and they start swimming after you.
This is actually disgusting.
Arms and legs, some of them.
Do you see any seagulls come down, pick it up?
Oh.
Gannets.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, Michelle has hammered me a bit the last few weeks. Been a very.
Is that why your face is a bit distorted?
Yeah, it's been a bit. It's why I'm twitching. It's been a busy old Six Nations, but this week the interesting bits, I guess, were that I hosted Neil de Kock's testimonial dinner on Wednesday night in London.
Yeah.
600 or something, 650 people.
People can't handle him, can they?
No. I, in my experience, people love de Kock.
Yeah.
It was the best supported testimonial event I've ever been to. Now, I would expect that to be an O'Driscoll or a Johnson or a Lawrence or a Johnny Wilkinson. Neil de Kock has got 10 caps.
To name a few.
Great. Yeah, but you'd expect those guys to have people crawling over themselves to get to their dinners.
Yeah.
Neil de Kock is a popular guy, 10 caps for South Africa, so he's an international, but similar sort of level to me, so not many caps. And he's won a bit with Sarri. He's been a great club player for Sarri.
Correct.
So, but to have all those people there, like, there were just the amount of players there.
Is that down to like the environment Saracens have created, or just the bloke in general?
Both. So people love him. So everyone that meets him loves him and wants to be at his dinner. And they packed out the brewery in the city, and they had a waiting list for tables.
Wow.
I've never known that before at a testimonial. That's for someone good. Who isn't an icon. So he is hugely popular and a brilliant player.
Yeah.
So that was brilliant. And they raised loads of money for J9, the US van der Vesthuizen Foundation.
Great.
Then on Thursday night, I hosted Joe Simpson's testimonial dinner, Waspy's scrum half.
I'm guessing not as good. By your tone of your voice.
Do you know what? It was absolutely, it was brilliant.
Of course it was.
It was really, really good fun because we had Sean Edwards there.
Yeah.
And just
do you know who we used to call Sean Edwards Gary Wackett?
Why?
Because he's a bit of a crazy bloke.
Yeah.
Sean Edwards, and he can go off the boil straight away. He would turn up to training in like tracksuit bottoms, suit shoes, and a hoodie top with a leather jacket on. And it's normally strict rules about, you know, Under Armour gear everywhere. And because he was so mental, we call him Gary Wackett. And Gary Wackett is the captain of Mike Bassett, England manager.
Okay.
You know, the one that goes absolutely mental in the change room, starts smashing stuff up before he runs out. Yeah, so his nickname, Gary Wackett.
Well, he turned up to this dinner, and the organiser of the dinner came over to me, and they had that face on, that awkward face. They were like, Sean's in a really bad mood. And I was like, really? I've met him a few times, always been lovely. He's in a really bad mood. So just be ready for some really short answers. Because I was up there with Lee Mears and Lewis Moody. It was like three British Lions guys, and me, up there. I was interviewing them. And Sean came on stage, and he was absolutely brilliant.
Really?
He was brilliant. He was telling stories about Andy Gregory, the old Wigan scrum half.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I grew up watching those. I watched as much of those guys as I did uni.
Martin Afire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jace Robinson.
Offia. Hates being called Offia. Marty Offia. So really, really good. So that was really nice. Then, yeah, lacrosse. I was at Sarri's on Sunday doing the ITV highlights.
We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about it later, but that was some day. That was some effort from Sarri's, but we'll talk about that as time goes on. Michelle, which was your favourite game of the weekend?
Oh, Northampton versus Leicester Tigers. I was actually just looking up score.
Oh, well done. I thought I'd catch you out there.
I was looking up the score because I was just thinking, I wonder of all your match predictions today, you're actually... spot on.
Well, we said by more than two, didn't we?
Leicester.
Yeah.
No, I thought you said three.
Two.
What did you say?
Don't ever question.
So we were right. This is our show, right, mate? All right.
So
Michelle knows that she's. I haven't managed to catch her out, which is a shame. She's writing down the scores just in case we test her, but she's on her phone, Now, we've got a strict rule on our podcast, Shanks and I, that we put our phones on airplane mode.
Just in case it distorts the sound and,
yeah,
and what have you.
But I don't want Michelle to turn her phone off, because that phone ringing with potential work for me and Shanks is literally all we've got.
Mm.
It literally pays for our lives. And my life, at least, Shanks, you've got a real job, but it pays for my life. So Michelle's allowed. So if the phone's wonky, I'm sorry, but my mortgage depends on it.
Right. Leo Vegas, bet of the week, where we're going to look at one game. As part of our relationship with Leo Vegas, we get to put a bet on, and all of the proceeds go towards our chosen charity.
All of them. Once
I mean, we won last week.
Taken our cut. It's a joke, wasn't it?
We won last week with Leinster by more than two.
Have we lost
Leinster
yet?
By more than two. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the first one was, yeah.
You did the Six Nations one. I don't think you got that.
Okay. Was it? England to win.
Yeah, beat Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, that was your bet,
Ireland,
not mine.
Cheated in the end, didn't they?
Yeah. But we're going to predict a score.
Yeah.
Points difference, really. And we get to put, I think, £25 on this.
Yeah, we do.
And if we win, all goes to charity.
Yeah.
So if you want to see our unique bet, you've got to go on leovegas.com. The terms and conditions apply. Make sure you're over 18.
Yeah, and when the fun stops...
Stop.
Yeah.
You always say that, mate, and it's so true. Now, the game we're going to bet on this week, we're going to bet on the Champions Cup quarterfinals. So we've had a look at their fixtures, and Flats and I are going for the Leinster versus Wasps game. And we're going for a straight-out Leinster win.
On the nose.
On the nose, we think Leinster are going to win.
Yeah.
Wasps leak too many tries, don't they, basically?
Yeah. I'm going over there on Saturday, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going over there.
To Leinster?
Yeah. Heading over, in and out mission.
Working or social?
Grafting, mate.
Yeah.
Grafting for BT.
Are you commentating?
No, I think... Mitch, what am I doing in Leinster? Do you know?
Reporter.
Reporter.
Ah, nice.
How does it feel? How do you feel?
Yeah.
What does this mean to the club?
Yeah, game of two halves, yeah.
How do you see it going? Where do you see your strengths and weaknesses?
So we'll just see your fingers more so. Than
you'll see me chubble it lands, and you'll probably see a watch that'll be shiny but is not sponsored, even though people always tweet me saying, well done, you got your sponsored watch. I don't have. Michelle has not yet got me a watch deal. Or you, has she?
No.
So, Michelle, step up, yeah?
Yeah, so get on the website, leovegas.com, see our bet. Leinster on the nose.
On the nose.
Right, weekend's rugby action, boy.
Right, boy.
Were you at any of the games?
Was I at any of the games?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Big style.
Are you on ITV doing the highlights for the Saracens game?
Correct.
Yeah.
I was at Sarries, but I watched the recording of the Bristol game on Saturday morning.
Yeah, let's talk through that. So, Gloucester 32, Bristol 14 at Ashton Gate.
You don't want to say it like that.
I know.
Say Bristol first.
I know, but...
Do it properly.
All right. Bristol 14?
Yeah.
Gloucester... 32.
Thank you, Tommy.
Billy Burns was good.
He's good.
I like him a lot.
He's a good boy. Do you know what I reckon, mate? Bath need to work hard to get him back to play 10 with his brother. For two brothers playing 10 for Bath. The franchise, like the Grey franchise.
Yeah.
Scotland. I honestly reckon they need to get him back because they're both good boys. And there's something about playing for your home club. Anyway,
I think
he's good for Gloucester.
I think Billy might have a little bit more pace as well.
Well, we've seen Freddie's handbrake stay on a couple of times, haven't we? He's managed to scrape it
yeah,
through, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a couple of intercepts before.
Lovely play.
One's got curly hair, the other's got straight hair.
Yeah, Freddie Burns looks like Colonel Gaddafi, and Billy Burns looks like Steptoe, in my experience.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Burns could be a 75-year-old man if you took his body away from the photo.
Yeah, Freddie Burns also looks like... Who was the
Kinnicky from Greece?
Who was Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
Most famous for Basic Instinct. Richard Hibbard, man of the match.
Oh.
Mate, we had a tweet from Ben Parker on Twitter, obviously, saying Hibbard be a Lion? He is a Lion.
Yeah. So I done a tweet the other day. Said something on the lines of how is Hibbard not in the Welsh squad? It's bizarre.
It is bizarre he's not in the Welsh squad. Ken Owens did have an amazing Six Nations tournament though.
The Sheriff.
Yeah. But
I would absolutely have Ken Owens as first choice for Wales.
Hibbard is playing real well.
How do you not have Hibbard on the bench, at least?
I think the issue was, initially, that he wasn't fit enough for Wales, and then he was just cast out. Like a lot of people with Wales, when they're out the mix, they're just out the mix. That's it, forgotten.
Yeah.
No matter what their club form is, if they don't fit the picture,
if their ponytail doesn't fit.
Yeah. But again, he was brilliant.
Yeah. He was
hitting, carrying.
Yeah, but working, like, he's just so light on his feet. He's a big unit. He's so light on his feet.
Mm.
Flying around, like I bet his average speed. I mean, okay, he's playing against Bristol on Friday night. He's not in a test match. But I reckon his average speed of running would be higher than any hooker achieved over the course of 80 minutes in the Six Nations.
Give us some, like, examples of an average speed.
I think in terms of numbers, it would be miles an hour.
Yeah.
But it's just the way he gets off the deck, the way he recycles himself, gets back in the game.
But that's a sign of fitness, isn't it? That's a sign fitness. Of bouncing back up a few feet, getting back in your position.
I think he's really fit, and he plays...
When you're tired, that's when you start to walk around, you be a guard.
And he plays 65 to 80 guard minutes patrol. Week after week after week in the front row. I think he's a top player, and I don't know why he's not in there.
But Bristol, standing with Bristol, I mean, they're in the game, really, till the last 25 minutes, and then Gloucester just pulled away. Henry Trinder looked pretty good back in at 13.
Yeah, like seeing him play.
Probably one of the most unlucky players I've known injuries.
Since me.
Yeah, since your five shoulder ops.
Could have been a legend.
Bristol, so many soft tackles from Bristol.
Yeah, they weren't good. And they
just flopping off tackles, missing them. No aggressive tackles. Allowing Gloucester to offload. You're right,
Excuse
mate.
Excuse me, I'm okay. I'm just upset. Yeah, they get into good positions and fluff their lines. They fluff lineouts. They two misthrown lineouts in key positions, and they're not a good enough team with good enough players to repeatedly get themselves back in those positions. So when they're there, there's double the pressure.
That's right, boy. Exeter, Sale, close game.
Yeah, I was surprised at the scoreline. Seeing Sale, what was it, 13-0 and then 19-5, something like that. Up, and you think
a red card as well, wasn't there? Was there a red card in that?
No, there was a red card in Thingamajig. Wasn't there? Worcester.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Bryce Heem. It was a decent game. Exeter nowhere near their best. But Henry Slade, once he got cooking and got the win behind him, he looked really nice, really classy at 10. Jack Noel a couple of times came, like took a ball off Slade and like got hit man and ball, but he's so strong in contact that he manages to keep the play going.
He bounces off players, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's so strong. And Luke Garandicki, again, is brilliant. Kai Horseman down there in the back row is having the season of his life.
Really?
And he's 44 next year. Amazing. He's the oldest player currently playing in Europe.
Not that old. What's happened to Newcastle, mate? Quinn's 53, Newcastle 17.
Yeah.
Best game I've seen Mike Brown play for a while, mate.
Really good.
Like in attack.
Yeah. Finishing off that try with good wheels.
Link play.
Mm. You know. The outside break in the 13 channel for yards try. Lovely. Good
place. His try should have been defended, though, by Newcastle 15.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wasn't it Joel Hudson? I forget who came over, but someone should have got
him. I think it was. It was right next to him.
Yeah, well, he got him, effectively. Yeah, he got him.
Just slipped off him.
Do you reckon Mike Brown vazzes his legs up? Do you reckon that's what it is? Shaves him and vazzes him?
You know when he scored his try, though, you just know he was going to do something to the crowd. He was looking at the crowd, put the ball down and gave an aggressive...
Rah. Yeah, don't you like that?
Put the ball down, run back as fast as you can, mate, get in position.
It was like when you scored against the All Blacks and you were lying on your back doing double peace signs, weren't you?
For the...
up into the air.
For the boys, that is.
Like a Japanese tourist.
For the boys, that is, not the crowd. They bet me I wouldn't do it. But Quinn's quite physical as well up front, which was...
They look really good. They look really, really good, yeah. It's not all over for Quinn's, I'll say that, especially if you watch Bath at the weekend.
But Newcastle were looking near enough for a top six finish, and they were just appalling, really.
Yeah, they were nowhere near it.
No.
But it's on the road against a team who've been good at home, so I think they'll get over that. So, Takalua was good at 9 again. His try early on was good. He's a top player.
Game of the weekend, though, for me, was Northampton, Leicester. You all right, mate? Do you want to cough? Do you want me to wind you?
Do you know what? It's because we're in a proper office and it's all air-conned. And when I'm in my
you
car...
You get asthma and eczema. And
when I'm in my G'd-up whip, I'd go on and off with the air-con because it dries me out a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
So Northampton, Leicester... 31 Northampton, 36 Leicester, at Franklin's Gardens. Massive send off for our major.
Yeah.
See what it means to the players and him at the end of the game, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Hugs all round.
And all the players seem, well, not all the players, loads of the players. Let's rephrase that. A number of players have come out and been openly unhappy with his sacking. And I just, you know, one of the guys at BT, I won't name him because he didn't give me permission to, I haven't asked him, but he said, you know, he's 36, Aaron Major's 36 and he's been sacked. He's not even, in his words, not mine, he's not even the coach he's going to be yet. He's only been coaching a couple of years. It's kind of like, but then you never know if he said, well, I'm only staying if I'm the boss.
Yeah, yeah.
You also never know if Matt O'Connor said, I don't want him there because our philosophies are different and I will bring my own guys in.
And I hate him.
Yeah, I expect he doesn't hate him. But the players seem genuine and unhappy to see him.
How good was Pickermans?
Oh, he's a joke.
Has to be the best player in the Premiership.
That's punchy, that. Let's try and...
Well, have a think about it, but he's up there. Offloading, carrying.
I don't know if I can think of anyone better at the moment.
No. That's why I said it.
Is that why you said it?
Mm.
Is that one of the reasons you said it?
Do you know what the turning point, I reckon, in the game was? The Christian Day try, his foot in touch.
The non-try?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The non-try.
Yeah.
Nice tackle by Peterson.
Mm.
But...
Big lump Peterson, isn't he?
He is huge lump. And he doesn't look like he runs fast, but he sort of cruises along. Michelle's writing notes now. She's probably grading us, mate. But if they'd scored that and got the conversion...
I've seen Stuart Hogg written on her pad.
I've seen a penis. If they...
Oh, Tom! Christ!
Tom?
Sorry, Michelle, about him.
If Christian Day scored that try and the kick was kicked, it would have been 29-16 at half-time.
Mm.
Big, big...
He never
deficit that. No, he didn't. He didn't. I suppose turning point of the game.
Let me say this to you, okay? Let me bring up a new subject for you, okay?
Go on. We haven't finished on this game yet, but
no, it's joint.
Yeah, yeah.
Linked to this game. Freddie Burns.
Class.
Swapping positions with George Ford, Leicester to Bath. Now,
did Freddie Burns went off injured, didn't he?
Don't know. But Owen Williams came on and showed absolutely gargantuan gonads to slot those two penalties.
But anyway, Freddie Burns.
Freddie Burns looks. It looks the Burns Ford swap looks more and more like Tigers loss Bath game every week at the moment. Now we'll get on to Ford and Bath in a minute, but let me tell you something confidential. Yeah, Aaron Major has been sacked now, and it is what it is. But I was standing next to. Someone we both know, Andy Good, who was talking to Aaron Major the other day, and I wasn't part of the conversation.
I cannot stop staring at Andy Good's hair, though. Every time I see him, it's the only thing I look at.
I know.
It doesn't move.
When the wind picked, really windy at Quinn's the other day last week for the Anglo-Welsh final, and he was like, oh, it's not blowing my lid, is it? It's not blowing my lid. I said, mate, there isn't anything. A fireman's hose couldn't knock your lid off.
Is there a bloke that loves jeans, shirt, V-neck jumper and a blazer more than Andy Good?
No, but he suits it. He looks great. He looks great in it. Anyway, so...
Sometimes change it up a bit. Variety.
All right. Yeah. Well, pass it off.
Yeah, please do.
He definitely doesn't listen to our podcast because he's got a rival podcast and you can't listen to your rivals, even though I do sometimes. And Aaron Major was saying that George Ford is a beautiful player, amazing player, one of the best 10s in the world when he's playing well and all that stuff. But he wanted to not sign George Ford and keep Freddie Burns. He's like, let's spend the money somewhere else. We've got Freddie. Freddie loves it. The boys love him. He's a great lad and he's a great learner. So is George, all of these things, by the way, by all accounts. I don't know George. I know Freddie well enough to know that he's a good guy to have in a squad. But he was up for not having George Ford, not spending whatever it was, 450 grand a year on someone who's going to be gone half the season.
Possibly he's got a case from the weekend's action as well.
I mean, it's only one weekend, a couple of weekends, you know, and George is class, but... You know, it is an interesting one, and I haven't spoken to Todd Blackadder directly about it, but the guys I know at the club, they would have loved George to stay, but as soon as he said I want to go, a lot of the guys, apart from the chairman who does, you know, the guys on the ground were saying they like George. They're saying, fair enough, mate. If you want to leave, we don't want you here because who wants players who don't want to?
Presumably, Freddie Burns will be on less money as well than George.
Oh yeah, Freddie will be on loads, and he'll be on about half as much as George. Yeah. You know, so George is serious cash, so they, for obvious reasons, but yes, I really think Bath are quite happy with that swap because Freddie's a local boy. His dad's 57, he's just started playing for the local team.
Yeah.
First games of rugby this season in the second row.
I also think Wales need to really start looking at Owen Williams as a potential.
What's he like in attack?
Good. Takes it flat. What they were doing in attack, see, when he came on, because Northampton were coming up pretty fast on the outside, Owen Williams was taking it really flat. So he was engaging the first few defenders, throwing it really deep. to the second wave of attackers, and that just allowed them to get on the outside of Northampton's blitz, really. So by Owen Williams taking it so flat, he was engaging the first few defenders, which means they couldn't drift. So when he's passing it back then to like Vianu,
so they've got a stick.
They've got a stick. Yeah. Passing it back to Vianu, there's a lot of space outside on inside shoulders, and that's a clear example of that for the McCaffrey try.
Yeah.
But Vianu again, wow. What a player, ball in hand. Do you know the score changed? I reckon I counted, and I think it's around 9 times the score changed. Now, I think it was 9 times. Don't bother.
Don't tweet in with a correction.
Yeah, I mean, I'm generalising. Like,
if you ever tweet in and prove us wrong, we block you.
I think Flats might run a marathon one day. You know,
not gonna happen.
It might do.
Is it right that a ten taking it really flat to the line and then ripping a pass back? All tens can do that, but most of them drift and sort of move towards their pass and roll their shoulders. But the guys that can actually run properly flat, stay square and deliver that pass, like Charlie Hodgson did so well for years. Can Owen Williams do it as well as that?
Yeah, he can. I'm not sure if he can do it as well as someone like Charlie Hodgson. You've really got a cough, haven't you?
I'm all right, don't worry.
Get some Benlin down you.
I'm all right, boy.
Or Cowpel. But yeah, he does. He takes it really flat. He keeps his hips straight. That's the key, keeping your hips straight.
Defenders
have to stay on it. Yeah, if your hips start to turn, your body starts to turn. But that's the best way to get around like a blitz. And Northampton were coming up fairly fast on the outside.
Yeah. I had a really awkward moment last week. Do you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
Firstly, Michelle, you're going to disapprove of this. Secondly, I'm happily married. It wasn't my fault. I was just standing waiting for all the cameramen, sound men to sort themselves out on the touchline at Leicester against Chiefs last weekend at the Stoop and for the Anglo-Welsh thing. And I found myself completely accidentally just staring at this girl, staring at this lady, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Zara.
How old was she? You said girl then.
Girl, oh, like
Zara
25.
Zara Easterby.
No. So I'm just staring, and I was like,
she's nice dressed.
She looks, it wasn't at all, she's nice dressed, and it was like.
It was.
And I was staring for ages, and then Goody clicked his fingers in front of my eyes. I was like, oh, God, sorry. I was like, what are you looking at? I was like, that was really awkward, because I think she's seen me staring like a weirdo, but I was just in another world. And it was Owen Williams' girlfriend. So she thinks, and then I think he went over to speak to her, and she sort of nodded over to me and said, who's that fat guy that's been staring at me for the last 8 minutes?
Yeah.
So I don't know, I you know, a bit awkward.
Yeah. I spoke to Owen Williams about it.
We've all been there, did you?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said it was fine, apart from the fact you were eating a banana while doing it. Now that moves us on to Saracen's Bath game you were at yesterday. We got loads of tweets in from asking questions on that. NGA on Twitter said,
Orcs, that's my CrossFit homeboy.
What's going on at Bath? That's it. Question mark.
Yeah.
Another one, Dan Webster.
Should we try and answer Orcs' question?
It's the same question.
That is question.
It's the same question. I know Saracens are pretty decent, but what's up with Bath recently?
Yeah.
Because the full team was basically out. You know, you look at their back line. They had Rocco de Gooney.
Yeah, I think
Joseph.
Perhaps the main difference is Saracens' best players seem to repeatedly have time on the ball, a good amount of ball in their hands, in space, you know, banging forward.
They make rare errors. They rarely make errors, mate.
Good, but it's a lot easier to reduce your error count on the front foot because you're under less pressure.
But it's also tackling errors as well, you know,
in
defence. So whatever their attack or defence, you know, they don't often lose the ball. They don't often miss tackles.
No, I guess that's coaching
basics.
Yeah, but also I feel like the Bath's best players, like Anthony Watson, is a guy. I feel like right now, if he were at Saracens, he would look twice as good as he does when he plays for Bath, because I think they would find ways to get him the ball in space. So what he does, what they do quite a lot, Bath's best players, is they get man and ball.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But they do a lot of dancing. So guys like Joseph Watson, they get the ball and then they haven't quite got enough room. They're not at full pace. So they get the ball and they speculate. And as a player, I always loved it playing with someone like Matt Perry. Ball goes over your head, he catches it. He doesn't dance around for 2 or 3 seconds first. He just bolts and makes up ground.
Runs as fast as you can, doesn't
he? Yeah, he used to say, run as fast as you can and decide on route. You know, don't speculate because people are making up ground on you. And Bath seemed to speculate a little bit. And that's because they don't get the ball. They very rarely get the ball at full chat, very rarely. Whereas Sarri's utilise their best players really, really well. So I think a lot of that comes down to the front football, the momentum created by the forward pack. Bath have got some great forwards, but I think they miss Henry Thomas. Max Lahiff is just getting better every week. But Henry Thomas, perhaps they miss. There's not much between him and Lahiff anymore. I think they really miss Dave Atwood. But I think they've got a paucity of real heavy hitters, ball in hand. I think they don't brutalise other packs. I don't mean scrum and line out.
Yeah.
I mean ball in hand. They're not making monster yardage and knocking other teams backwards. So when the ball is released, momentum has often been lost. And I think it actually, there are periods when it is pointless having Joseph, Watson, Rocco Degouni in the team because they never get the ball doing anything other than standing still or in heavy traffic.
Yeah.
So Saracens have got more momentum. I wonder if it's I'd say the same about Gloucester actually, a checkbook job up front.
Yeah, possibly. It doesn't help, you know, like momentum in the game when your fly half kicks the ball out in the full twice. And
misses a couple of kicks that he should always get.
Yeah. Do you know what a massive difference though was, I reckon, the kicking in general. So the kicking off Wigglesworth was far better.
Yeah.
It was in an area where the chasers could either compete or take man and ball. Yeah. It's one of his strengths really, isn't it?
Wigglesworth kicking wasn't perfect, but it's so relentlessly good that it has an impact on the game.
Even Brad Barrett was more of an attacking threat. Yeah. Which we don't often see too much. Normally he's sort of defensive captain.
Yeah, relating that to my point is, would Brad Barrett ever be an attacking threat in the Bath team as it's playing at the moment?
No.
I would say no.
He might suit someone like Bath, just giving him a bit of go forward.
Yeah, I think Brad Barrett could almost slot into any Premiership, any European team and be useful, but Saracens create momentum like Northampton did a generation ago when they had Tonga Weir and Mujati dominating up front, and they were constantly moving. They're Downey in the midfield, and they were constantly moving forward. So every time Foden and their best players, and they got the ball in their hands, they were flying forward, or a lot of the time. Bath don't seem to create that, and I think that might be a simple power issue.
The Saracen subs made a huge difference as well, like bringing the likes of Brits on.
Yeah.
Duncan Taylor looked good when he came on. Lazowski.
Yeah.
At the 60-minute mark, you could literally score at will against Bath. The heads were down, they were flopping off tackles.
Oh, they got absolutely bashed. And that is a bad day for Bath. That's their worst defeat in 15 years.
Mary or Tom on Twitter wants to know, could Ashton be a Lions bolter with games like yesterday?
Yep. Well, I only made this point in the highlights. I don't know how, I know Warren Gatland wasn't there, but say let's just, Eddie Jones was there. I honestly don't know. People talk about his defence. His defence is, Chris Ashton's defence is not perfect positionally, but he's not a coward. He will hit. He will collide hard.
Of course he was from rugby league.
He will be league, isn't he? Nothing else to do up there. So I think his defence is better than he gets credit for. It's not perfect. He missed a tackle yesterday in the game against Bath, which wasn't great. But I think he does so much more than just finish. He kicks well.
Yeah.
He tackles well often, not perfect. But he also,
his link play, his reading of the game,
his
work rate.
He's the for me, and I'm not a wing expert.
Yeah,
I've been saying this for a while, and on the telly. And yesterday, I asked a couple of people that know what they're talking about. Austin Healey, who doesn't care what anyone thinks of his opinion, and played wing for England, and I think the Lions.
Yes,
so knows his onions. I said Chris Ashton is the best winger overall in England, with Jack Noel, and Austin agreed.
But he has been for a while, though.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I don't know how Eddie Jones watches that and doesn't pick him.
But it's not, but I suppose the Lions' question is, Warren Gatland and his team of selectors are selecting the squad, not Eddie Jones or Stuart Lancaster, who didn't pick him. So
if you're New Zealand, do you want them to pick Ashton or not? I don't want them to, because I think he's dangerous. What do you think?
I think he deserves, possibly, his form. Certainly get a call up. I'm not sure they'd take anyone though that isn't playing.
No, I think I'm rugby. Confident they won't take him.
So
I asked him yesterday. Do you reckon they'll
he's,
take
he's
him?
In
he
the mix.
No
though.
Chance. George Ford for Lions. Austin Healey said yesterday on the telly that he thinks George Ford will go as third choice, because then you've got Farrell, Sexton, and George. You've got three completely different tens, and you've got George's ability to pull something out of nothing, he thinks George should go.
Well,
what do you think to that?
I think it's a toss-up between George, Ford, Finn Russell and Dan Biggar. One of those three. I think a lot will depend on the form of Bath. I'm not sure Biggar will go. I think it could be Finn Russell or George Ford. And I reckon it's going to come down to the next few games and the form. Finn Russell was really good
for
Glasgow.
It's got to be Finn Russell.
He was really good for Glasgow at the weekend.
And I hope he performs against Sarries next weekend in the quarterfinal, because I actively want Finn Russell to go, because he's like Gregor Townsend. I want to see him play.
He is, you know, his vision and how elusive he is incredible, mate.
And his arrogance.
Chips and chases all the time. Yeah. He keeps defenders thinking. You know, Connacht are a good team, and Glasgow ended up, you know, winning comfortably towards the end. But also, you know, Glasgow is still in the quarterfinals of Europe.
Yeah.
You know, Bath aren't. So there's only a few more games for the selectors to watch, and it could come down to that. You know, so
I'd be very surprised if Ford goes over Russell.
Rugrats Rugby Dahl on Twitter wants to know, will the league miss Chris Ashton?
Oh yeah, massively. He's absolutely brilliant. And do you know what? This is kind of irrelevant, but he is one of the most hated players in the league, who gets booed every ground I go to. I see him play that isn't Allianz Park. He gets booed everywhere.
That's his niche, though, mate. It's like Austin Healey, isn't it? You know, you find your niche, and
he's such great fun to be around. Like, if I were picking for tourists, for chemistry, we were talking about this the other day, because I don't know the guys from other countries as well. So just the English guys that you'd pick for pure chemistry. Haskell is just golden on a rugby tour, as you can imagine. Chris Ashton as well is almost as valuable as Haskell. He's such a good guy. The boys love him.
All PR's good PR as well, mate.
He's great. He's great fun. He's just on the field. He loses the plot a bit and does some crazy stuff. You know, and he gets a long ban for contact with the eye area that was a load of balls, but actually ruined his reputation. It was a ridiculous ban. And he gets a...
It's not just that ban, though. There's been a few bans.
There's been a few, yeah. He's done some stupid stuff, no question. But he also got chinned by Manu twice and didn't go down. So I mean,
he did go down.
No, he didn't.
I'm sure he went down.
No, he didn't go down, mate. From Wigan, didn't he?
It's a good chin as well, wasn't it? Good slow-mo.
Yeah.
Jelly jaw.
Yeah, someone tweeted in that and said, memories, eh? And he said, just a little tickle, that.
Wasps, 40, Worcester, 33. Some great tries by Wasps again. Christian Wade.
Yeah, he's electric.
Dangerous. But
the defence was terrible.
They still leak so many points, don't they?
I was talking about Worcester's defence there. Christian Wade's tries should have been defended.
But also Wasps as well. And we've got a question here from Paul Dickinson. What do Wasps need to do to shore up their defence? Can this be done without blunting their attack? Because Wasps play such high-risk rugby, you know, because they throw the ball around so much, because they try things, and they've got a lot of individuals, they often get themselves in trouble because they get isolated. And because they often try the miracle balls and things like that, they don't often go to hand. Turnovers create tries. A lot of tries are scored from turnovers against Wasps.
Do you think they look like a team that, whether they realise it's what they're thinking or not, they approach games with the mindset that defence is really important, but it's not really important, because we're going to score so many tries, it doesn't matter?
I think if you look at all their play, well, their back line especially, their back line are more, say, 70-30 attack, 60-40 attack. So they are attacking back line, you know, defence sort of comes second. You just think...
No, Brad Barrett's there, is it?
No, there's not. But then, not often do you find someone that is absolutely amazing in attack and absolutely amazing in defence. You know, they always swing one way, don't they?
Yeah.
So it'd be difficult. I mean, what do you do? If you've got all these attacking players that love to score tries, love to make breaks, but sometimes get caught out defensively. It is a bit of a mindset. It's a lot to do with concentration. It's a lot to do with systems. But, you know, if they can shore up their defence, you know, they're up there with the best.
They're up there with Sarries if they can do that. But
well, they're ahead of Sarries at the moment.
Yeah, but I still back Sarries to win trophies ahead of Wasps.
Yeah.
Could be right. Hey, could be wrong, Tommy, couldn't we? Hey?
Could be wrong.
What else do you want to talk about?
Champions Cup quarterfinals, boy. Yeah. Just before we go on to that, right, we got the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. Ospreys are at Stad, right?
I'm going to that.
Okay.
Ospreys aren't at Stad. It's Ospreys Stad at Cardiff.
That's what I meant.
I'm coming to your place afterwards. Have a nice time.
Did you know the Ospreys lost to Treviso at the weekend? It breaks me.
Yeah.
Absolutely breaks me. They lost 13-5.
That's Treviso. The worst Ospreys performance
I've ever seen since Ospreys
came into existence.
It was absolutely appalling.
Pathetic.
They were such a better team than that performance. Yeah. And it just gives these Italian teams a little bit more, I don't know.
It's almost like they can justify being there. Are you, Michelle? Yeah. Are you all right? Michelle's standing up. You all right?
My back aches. Sorry.
Preggers. You should wear one of those back supports that the IKEA delivery guys wear. Oh, it could fit around your big tummy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You got a tennis ball.
Don't go off tangent. I'm listening to you.
Do you want Shanks to crack your back for you? Because he can do that thing where you lock arms and he pulls you,
pulls
you back. He's good at that.
Then we've got Gloucester the Blues as well. Big game for the Blues.
Yeah.
Lost to Leinster the weekend. They played pretty well against Leinster at the weekend, but Gloucester looked pretty good.
Bath against Breathe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the replay of the 98 final that Bath won.
Andy Nicol holding up the trophy at the end,
Andy Nick, yeah. John Mallett.
Yeah.
Freddie Mendez from memory. Dave Hilton, the Bristol Butcher.
Adi Adebayo.
Big Oge, maybe. Hawley. Anyway, I can't remember all of them. But those are the days.
Yeah, so move on to the main competition, Champions Cup. So Leinster v Wasps. We're going with Leinster, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We're literally going with Leinster on that one.
Yeah.
I don't pretend for 1 second I wouldn't quite like Wasps to win that, but when it comes to the big day, we'll be neutral, won't we?
Yeah, of course we will. Munster to lose.
Munster all day long. Toulouse are down to 10th in the top 14 now. They've got so many good players, they're just not a very good team consistently. No. So I'd be Mick Jagger if they went over there and did it.
And Saracens, Glasgow, Allianz Park.
Yeah, again, I really want Glasgow to perform, but I think there's no better team at shutting down great teams than
Saracens. That's the thing, Saracens are a good attacking team as well. You know, they can attack with the best of them, but what they do better than others is defend. You know, they've got better all-rounders than most teams.
Yeah, that Alex Good try yesterday that he started from a few yards out from his own line.
I know.
It was one of the best tries you're going to see this season in any competition. So there's no... Sarries haven't been boring for a couple of years now, but they're now an exceptional attacking team who defend better than pretty much everyone else.
And then Clermont, Toulon.
Yeah.
I'm going Clermont.
Clermont, Toulon lost to Stade, who are all right, who are not a fantastic team. They lost, I think, 17-11 to Stade.
17-12.
I think it was 17-11.
I'm just making it up.
All right. So I think, I'd be amazed if Clermont don't walk that. They could be done by half-time, to be honest.
There you go.
In concurrent form.
You heard it.
There we have it.
From the horse's mouth, put a bet on. And if you don't win, he'll give you your money back.
What'd you call me? That we would tell you, presuming you care, why we are at Robert Walters, the recruitment guru's offices this morning. We're at the offices recording our podcast in central London because...
We're after a job.
I mean,
if you do want a job, you know, there's no better place to find one.
And I brought my CV in and I gave it to them. They don't seem to be taking it very seriously. But we needed a space to record our podcast, and this is a space, and we are filming here later on with Richard Hill, England team manager and former Saracen, England, British Lions back row, Salisbury back row.
Yeah, it's some secret filming, really, when we can't talk too much about it. But
All will be revealed, I think, later.
All will be revealed. We'll tweet about it. But Robert Walters... are sponsors of the Lions.
Hang on, is that on our contract to tweet about it? Because you've seen Jonathan Joseph's tweet about the shoes he was wearing yesterday. Have you seen all that kicked off?
No.
Oh, Tommy. It's poor bloke. Do you know what? I really understand what the supporters are saying, but I really feel sorry for Jonathan Joseph. Because
what happened?
Bath got absolutely spanked by Sarries. Like, they got wiped out. It's their worst performance in 15 years in the league. Horrendous. And
We've just dissected it.
Yeah, I know. And loads of players are obviously sponsored by a certain brand. Oh, it's Nike. Who cares? I'm not sponsored by anyone. It's Nike or Nike, whatever you're supposed to say.
Not like sponsored by anyone.
Not sponsored by trainers.
I can't remember the last time you actually forked out for something.
I don't have a sportswear sponsor.
Anyway,
I fork out regularly.
Do you have a boat sponsor?
So anyway, it's Nike. It's like people who say Porsche instead of Porsche. Anyway, Nike, he's obviously sponsored by Nike. So Danny Kerr and some other guys, it was Air Max Day yesterday, because it's Nike Air Max, whatever. It's one of these bloody marketing things, you know, PR things. Let's make it Air Max Day. So all these rock star players tweet happy Air Max Day with a picture of their Air Maxes or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, maximize, hashtag Maxi or something like that, whatever it is. And Jonathan Joseph obviously comes off the field. He doesn't tweet a huge amount anyway, but they've been absolutely battered in a league game on telly. It's awful. And he comes off and he's obviously got an email from his agent saying, mate, you have to tweet about Nike. Now, I don't know Jonathan Joseph that well, but I know that he's bright and he went to a good school. So he's not silly. He will know that the last thing you want to do after getting spanked in a league match on telly is tweet about your trainers,
yeah,
a corporate tweet, and he will have been contractually obliged to do it. He will have had to do it.
Yeah.
So he's obviously, he should have done it before the game, because then...
But forgot. But
obviously forgot, or he's pumped for the game or whatever it is. I don't know, but he put a tweet out saying...
It's Max for
something
the game.
Like, not the result we wanted, but happy Nike Air Max Day kind of thing. It was just like, and the bar fans just went nuts. You've lost the plot. This is what rugby's all about these days. It's all about the money for these guys. Like, there are some, to be honest, I'll be completely frank, some knobhead fans out there saying, like, Jonathan Joseph doesn't care. It's like, you stick your head where he sticks it for a living. You've got no idea.
If you're contracted to do it, you're contracted to do it.
You've got to do it. And it's like when I had this big, not a Barney actually, but I had this big conversation on Twitter with this guy once who, he did something like, it wasn't something I'd done. So one of the lads, like George North, I think, got his new Range Rover, right? And he said, thanks for my new Range Rover, it's super cool.
Yeah.
And it is super cool. And a load of people liked it, whatever. And this fan just writes this reply and copies me in, saying, is anyone sick of overpaid professional rugby players showing off about their free cars? Because I am.
Yeah.
And I was like, hang on a minute, mate. Firstly, you don't know if it's free, because often us lot pay, we don't pay much, admittedly, but we pay, some of us pay, some don't.
Some more than others.
Yeah, but what depends is you either pay nothing and do loads of work without charging for Land Rover, or you pay a bit and do less. That's kind of how these things work. So let's say it's free. So I said to this guy, I mean, I don't care what this guy thinks. It's Bob from Northampton. I don't know him. What does it matter what he thinks? But I said to him, hang on a minute, mate. I was like, you know, actually, have you got a family? He's like, yeah, what's that got to do with it? And he goes, we've got a wife, we've got two kids. Okay, that was nice, well played. So what car have you got? And he's like, well, what business is it of yours? He goes, oh, I've got a VW Passat or something. I said, okay,
yeah,
it's a 2007, it's fine. I was like, okay, what if someone said to you, hey, mate, if you come on 4 or 5 days a year, which are driving days, golf days, bit of fun, boozy, free food, really good laugh with loads of other people in your trade, loads of your mates, and if you do that and you do one tweet or three, it's like three tweets a year, we'll give you a brand new Range Rover as your family car. What would you say? And he went quiet. So I followed him up the next day twice and said, please, what would you say? He's like, well, I said, just think about your wife and kids driving around in a Range Rover that doesn't cost you much, doesn't cost you anything, and you just got to do this for it. And you never have to worry about your car breaking down, all that sort of stuff. What would you do? And he's like, I'd take it. I said, well, respectfully, shut it then. People would take it. So it's like, it is not Jonathan Joseph's fault. He would have pressed send on that and thought, I hope no one sees this.
Yeah, worst time to send it, but got to send it.
It's his fault for not doing it before the match. Should have done it in the morning at breakfast time, but he didn't. So it is that's a toughie, that.
I'd like a barbecue. That's what I'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a barbecue addict, so.
Yeah.
So would I. I've got a few barbecues already, but I need another one.
You've got a smoker as well, haven't you?
I've got two smokers, actually.
Do you eat meat every day?
Everyone eats meat every day.
I don't.
Why don't you? What meals do you have without meat in them?
Tofu.
Macaroni cheese.
Macaroni cheese. That's no better for you than meat. A load of cheese, surely.
Salad.
I eat salad and veg.
Jack potato and with tuna and sweet corn.
Tuna's a meat. Is it not?
Tuna's
fish.
Tuna's not a meat.
It's a type of meat.
Alright, let's just move on.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't eat massive chunks of meat every day, but I do tend to have meat. I didn't have any meat for breakfast. I had a plate of Scottish smoked salmon this morning.
Yeah, okay. I had lamb for breakfast.
Lamb?
Yeah.
Are you having a pop at meat? Jeez.
But you eat a lot of meat, that's what I'm saying.
yeah, but I'm 21 stone. I can't afford to lose any weight because it costs so much to buy a new wardrobe.
Should we get on some questions?
Yeah.
Right, we've got one on Twitter from Jeremy Paulizer.
Pulitzer.
Paulizer.
Paulizer.
Should a national coach also be a Lions coach? Of course.
Yeah.
So I think his point is a national coach
biased?
Yeah, a bit biased, but does the national team then suffer if he's a Lions coach?
Yeah. So say you got your what is it? The four national coaches of the four teams that make up the British and Irish Lions. So if you don't have one of those, then you're more likely to have someone who's not biased, but there's also a good chance that one of those coaches will be from one of those nations anyway.
And one of those coaches, more likely or so, possibly could be the better coach as well.
Yeah, could be. So. But then what if, you're foregoing Warren Gatland went properly under pressure, those coaches know their players better than anyone.
They also know what international rugby's like as well.
Yeah.
And the difference that is to play in club level, and everything that comes with it as well.
So our answer's just yes.
Yeah.
Here's one from Jamie Phillips on email. It's just for you, actually.
All
question
right.
for Tomas. What are your thoughts on a potential WRU takeover of the Newport Gwent Dragons? Is it the right thing to do, or should the Newport RFC shareholders vote no?
It's a difficult one, this, because Newport Gwent Dragons need some sort of money. They need someone to invest in them, and at the moment, no one's willing to do that. So they don't really have much funding. So the only way they're going to get more funding is by a WRU takeover. What they also need to do is they need to look at their pitch. The pitch is pretty poor.
Kieran Dyer.
Yeah. They can't change the pitch. They can't make it this 4G pitch because they share it with Newport County Football, and you can't play football on a... on a 4G surface.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, so, look, I think unless someone's going to come in and put a load of money into Newport, I think it's probably the best option. They need something in there, otherwise the region's just going to go.
Have you thought about...
go downhill.
I mean, serious, sort of a question on
I mean,
question.
They're trying to look at the Irish model about what
Have
I...
Have you thought
do.
About sort of taking it over yourself?
No, mate, no. Maybe.
Got a sponsor on the podcast now, mate. You're the king of Cardiff, you told me.
Who? Yeah, it's Newport there, mate.
Oh, yeah, it's true, actually.
Different country.
Who's the king of Newport?
Alex Popham.
Pops, he can do it. Yeah. He's an entrepreneur.
That he is. We've got a question here from...
Just popping pills, if you can hear crackling, anti-inflammed, you know, old injuries.
David Hodgson on Twitter wants to know who's the longest in the showers.
Oh.
Luke Charteris for me. Just tallest and biggest, isn't he?
I've never seen Luke Charters in the shower. Is this really inappropriate?
Well, no.
Longest in the shower.
It's always a question you get at Q&As, mate. Just think of a name.
Yeah, it's Ollie Barkley was longest in the shower.
Okay, JC on Twitter wants to know, it's just... tweeted, should I ever wash my hand again now I've managed to shake Flats's hand at Sarri's today?
Yeah, because I don't wash mine ever.
Yeah, especially after number twos.
Tommy!
Sarri's players, this is Stu Kilby, Sarri's players are low music when they score tries. What would your tunes be?
When they score tries? We did this once at Sarri's. Do you remember doing this?
Yeah, I think mine was like Ghostbusters or something like that.
Yeah.
It was so white.
Yeah, mine was... I've actually forgotten what mine was. Anyway, no one ever heard it. But I remember...
I get knocked down, and I get up again.
Blobby, Mr. Blobby. We had a... But there was... I remember Gerald Arasa. We've spoken about him before on this pod.
Yeah.
Gerald Arasa, middle name Sexual. And I remember Sexual Chocolate coming to us and saying... there's this rap tune called Anti Up. Anti Up, whatever it was. He's like, I want that one. And we're like, all right, mate. And then he scored a try. And this is the sort of thing that would be frowned upon these days. And we would have to frown upon it in public because we want to be seen to be great guys. but he scored a try and someone had stitched it up and Black Beauty came on. And G absolutely loved it. And G absolutely loved it. So when I remember dropping him off once after training, and as he got out the window, and he started to gallop down the road.
Just when you said that, I thought to myself, what's the tune to Black Beauty? And you both started humming it.
Yeah. We know it. It's because we played with because we played with G-string for so long, with Sexual Harasser, that we memorised it. Because he used to score a couple of tries, didn't you?
Rich Harriman on Twitter wants to know, which player from another country would make the biggest difference to the England and Wales starting lineups? So anyone else from another country, who would make the biggest difference?
Beauden Barrett.
Yeah,
I mean, best players.
For me, right, Wales need some sort of 12 settled in to the team. At the moment, I think that's the key position for me in Wales.
Well, then pick
the
one.
12. Well, who's the best 12 in the world at the moment? Who do you think?
I'm busy at the moment.
Right, well, I think Farrell is. I don't think anyone in Australia is really standing out.
Yeah.
Not too much in New Zealand 12s come through. I mean, Ma Nonu in his prime, but...
Yeah, in his prime no more.
So I think Farrell. I think
Wesley Fofana. Different player, but I would rather have... I'd have Farrell at 10 and him at 12.
I'd have Farrell at 12. I think Farrell's a much better 12.
Do you? Than Fofana? Fofana.
Yeah.
Really?
If you want to play a certain way.
Yeah, all right, mate.
He's not selfish. He gets the ball out. He holds defenders. He's got a great passing game. Hits hard.
Mentally tough.
What about you?
Doesn't disappear in big games.
Are you going with Barrett?
I'd have Beauden Barrett at 10.
Okay.
Do you feel all right about that?
Yeah, fine, mate. Rob Sherrington on Twitter wants to know...
Or, I'd have him at 10, or I'd have Ardie Surveyor at 7.
Okay.
Okay.
Who was the biggest prankster you played with? Any good ones or new or ones that went badly wrong? See, I remember, I'm not sure if I told this one before, when we were in World Cup in 2007, and we stayed in these self-contained apartments, right? And there was all bananas and nuts and fruit and stuff like that in big boxes outside your doors. And Dwayne Peel always used to hide them in Mark Jones's room, just chuck them all in there, because all the doors were open. It was only us staying there.
Yeah.
They put bananas everywhere, bananas in his bed. In his shoes.
Just annoying.
Yeah.
Just annoying.
Even to the point where they'd take a little banana off and put it right down the end of a shoe or a boot. So when you put your foot in, it's mush.
Oh, perfect.
Right, so, and he was doing that all the time. And then it comes to the point where Mark Jones, he's now head coach at RGC, which is North Wales.
Yeah.
Team. Winger, Mark Jones. He used to be a farmer, so he's really comfortable, like handling animals. A little bit too comfortable. My liking. and they had all these sheep lying around the hotel just on the grass, you know, they were just welcome to it. Must have been some sort of crown land or something.
Yeah.
And I would not have a clue how to pick up a sheep. You know, I wouldn't know where to start. I'd probably just bear hug it and lift it up.
Yeah.
But he manipulated some sort of judo instructor onto the floor, picked it up by both its legs, put it into Dwayne Peel's room. Shut the door.
I'm not laughing, I'm crying.
Honestly, we were
sat that scary for the sheep though.
And it was in there for probably about a half hour. And Dwayne Peel went back to his room and we're all outside waiting like this.
What, did the room go quiet for like half an hour or something?
Yeah, nothing with we just left it in there. Just shut it in there, left it in there for a half hour. Dwayne Peel come back to his room, we're all following him in, seeing what happened, and the sheep had shat everywhere. All over the bed.
He was nervous.
He's eating all his kit, his clothes,
she
the lot.
Was nervous.
And then Mark picked
That's
it up.
That's cruelty, isn't it?
I laugh at it, but I do.
Mark picked it up, gave it some food, took it outside, gave it a stroke, and it ran off, skipped off.
My overall feeling is I feel sorry for the sheep, but that's good. I tell you what, I heard Joe Simpson did this brilliant prank on Elliot Daly, and it's an ongoing thing, and it's just so simple, but he would call Domino's delivery and he would order a pizza for Elliot Daly's house and cash on delivery, and so they would knock on the door, Elliot Daly would answer, and it's happened repeatedly, and Elliot Daly would answer and they'd say, Elliot, Mr. Daly, yeah, I've got your pizza, didn't order a pizza, but this is your name, yeah, but I didn't order it, but it's your address. Yeah, but I didn't order it. It's not mine. And, you know, well, we've got it here. It's been ordered for you. And it says cash on delivery. And he's like, in the end, he's like, I didn't order it. He goes, in the end, he's like, well, all right, what is it then? I'll give you 15, 10 or whatever, 10 quid, and I'll have the pizza because it's here now. Because the delivery guy's like, well, it's here now. And he goes, what is it? He said, it's a vegetarian pizza with no cheese. I don't even want it. He's like, I don't even want it. So Simo, who I call Sheephead, Sheephead repeatedly ordered vegetarian pizzas with no cheese on to Elliot Daly's house until they blacklisted Elliot Daly's address. So Elliot Daly now can't order pizzas to his flat from Domino's. They won't bring them. And it's all Simo's fault.
So you know, I thought of another funny one. We were pre-2003, right, the World Cup. Wales went out to Lanzarote. That's a training camp out there, Club La Santa. And one night, you're allowed to go on the piss, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it was Alan Phillips, who's our team manager. He was an ex-British Lion, Cardiff.
Thumper?
Yeah, Thumper. And we're in the little nightclub in Club La Santa, and he buys a big round for all the management. And he's got these khaki shorts on and a polo and boat shoes, you know, dressing like his age. And he gets all these, I think, like vodka cranberry juices on a big tray. He's walking over to the table to give them to the Welsh management. Alex Popham comes right up behind him, whips down the whips down the shorts, whips down the pants, stands on them, and Thumper can't do anything because he's holding this tray of drinks. Everyone's looking at it as well, everyone. Because kegging used to be a massive thing back then.
Yeah.
It was a finable offence after that. So,
was it?
Yeah, if you keg someone, you had to pay a £50 fine, and sometimes it was worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah. And he didn't know what to do. He was like trying to crouch down, and then, you know, everyone could see his ass. It was nothing. And it was a good like 5 seconds, and then Popham took his foot off, and he couldn't swing at him or anything because he's on this tray. And he just went, Popham, because you'll never, ever play for Wales again. And he did for like 3 years, and then, you know, Thumper was right.
Ah, brilliant. I love that.
That's it, really.
That's it. And Michelle, before we go, have you been impressed with our slickness, our professionalness?
Yep, very good.
Happy? You've been making notes. What are we making notes about? Anything about our podcast or just...
language?
Our sort of huge big business
feedback
ideas.
Big business ideas, actually. I'm actually writing notes for something we could do for next year for England-Wales.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's exciting. We got some ideas, haven't we, Shanks?
Yeah, we have. I just want to say quickly that
we'll do what Michelle wants.
My favourite rugby team in Dubai is the Dubai Hurricanes. Canes Effect.
Is that a Jonathan Joseph moment?
It's the boys out there.
Yeah. Is that a contractual
It's the boys out there. I know some of the Dubai rugby boys.
Let's get to the bottom of this.
Are you being paid to say you are going to
do a dinner for them and you're getting paid for it.
No, I'm not.
Tell me now, look into my eyes and tell me there is no money involved in what you just said.
Absolutely no money. There's a question on Twitter, who's your favourite team? It's the Dubai Hurricanes. I met a couple of them, right, at the embassy in Dubai, right, and I was with my wife. And
your wife?
And they were chatting to her. And I was off chatting to the ambassador. And I'm going to chat with my wife.
The Ferrero Rocher.
I could see him at the corner of my eye, like three good-looking blokes chatting her up. And I went back over there. They didn't know she was my wife. I went back over there and said, yeah, you all right? Yeah, just left you there for an hour with them. Everything okay? She said, yeah, they're really nice. You know, one of them's a teacher. You know, one of them's one of them works in IT and the other's a dolphin trainer. I was like, which one is a dolphin trainer?
Oh, just
and she went, that one over there. What, the real good-looking one? Yeah, he's a dolphin trainer. He trains dolphins out here. I was like,
no.
That's a lie. She said, no, it's not. So I went over to him. His name's Daryl. I said, you've got to go tell her you're not a dolphin trainer. And he went over and told he's not a dolphin trainer.
She couldn't believe it.
No.
We used to come up with all sorts of stuff on nights out. I was regularly just back from a 6-month stint at the EPO in Tokyo. What's the EPO? Earthquake Prevention Office. Or it'd be like earthquake, but I'd be like the EPO in Northampton. What's that? An earthquake prevention office. We don't have earthquakes here, do we? Like, exactly. That's me doing my job.
You take 2 bottles in a shower. right, last question. This is a real good one. Aaron Joseph Davis wants to know, hypothetical now, if you were given $5 million, don't know why you didn't say dollars, if you're given $5 million to walk backwards for the rest of your life, would you do it?
No.
No.
No. Good question, though.
Very good question, though.
Yeah.
Make sure you keep tweeting in. Tweet us at Flats and Shanks on Twitter.
Yeah, so what we're going to try and do, we're going to try and have a bit of a...
Hold on, that's actually $5 million.
$5 million?
It's not even sterling.
No.
No.
I know.
It's a no-brainer. Maybe if you said 50 million sterling.
I went to a barely walk forwards for 5 million.
Flats will not get out of bed.
Yeah.
For that.
That's what I was thinking.
Bloody hell. You're kidding me, aren't you?
But yeah, how do they email us, mate?
Contact at Flats and Shanks. Right. Okay, here we go. Contact at flatsandshanks.com. Twitter at Flats and Shanks. Facebook, Flats and Shanks. Or just call Shanks on his mobile, which is 07881.
555.
Website is flatsandshanks.com.
You got it.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Have a good week.
Yeah. Say bye, Michelle.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye.